Hi, welcome to The Getty, a podcast I started with me and my friends. I'm your host, Lou, and I'm reporting to you live from Kansas, darling. Kansas, and that's not a euphemism for something else. Literally, I'm in Kansas right now. Just yesterday, Sunday, Insecure wrapped up. Season 4, done and dusted. And I promise you, Insecure makes a perfect argument for why representation matters. I think this is the first series that I actually see myself and my friends in that I can like relate to on an everyday basis. So shout out to Issa Rae, shout out to all the people that made it happen. And with the season finally over, I'm here to give you an in-depth analysis with me and my esteemed panel. Guys, how are you doing?
Yeah. Why you gotta be so insecure? Yeah. When I did all I could do, but you be wanting more.
Good, everyone's feeling good. Okay, so to this episode, we're going to talk about the whole season of Insecure. There's so many things to get through. I don't know if you guys saw the agenda that I sent out.
Yeah.
Thank God, because it was like 20 minutes before.
Yeah.
And very touch and go.
So does everyone want to just say what their impressions were of this season, whether they liked it, hated it, what do you rate it? Seriously? No, seriously. What is that? Is my connection bad?
I also heard something, Snacks.
Okay, so guys, what did you think of the season?
Oh, okay, we're going. Okay, I really I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I thought that as much as the previous seasons had kind of put down like a foundation for the characters, I felt like this season the characters were really challenged, and we got to understand them a little bit more. Some more than others, I would say, in terms of the other relationships and things, but like I liked that about it. I question, yeah, Molly though.
100%. Do you guys want to start touching on that? Like, what did you think about Molly's development throughout the whole season?
Loved it and hated at the same time. I loved it because it was nice to see that dynamic and to see that truth of her, and then hated it because it's like, ugh, I love her and Issa as best friends. But I, towards, like, at the end of the season, I was totally like, fuck Molly. Like, get her out of your life. She doesn't need to be here. We're good without you. It's okay.
Everyone loved in the beginning, though. Like, she was this career woman and everything. Like, she was doing what she had to do. And then when it came to a relationship, she crumbled. Mm-hmm. And then, like, everyone just went after Molly, you know, like, 1, 2, 3. And, like, that's what happens when you're just so, like, out of sync with who you are, kind of thing. And it starts coming up in the most intimate ways. Because work is easy to control, hey? But when it comes to yourself, that's when it comes, like, you know? Mm-hmm.
And when you have to start dealing with other people, like work, it's like, okay, you've got assignments, you get that done, and you're doing good. But when you're dealing with other people, you have to factor in the way they feel, the way they perceive things. And with Molly, she goes through life thinking that she's being considerate, that she's taking into like other people's opinions into account. But literally, it's all her relationships are on her terms. Her relationship with Andrew on her terms. Her relationship with Issa on her terms.
Even her relationship with her father, like that scene where everyone was like,
oh, that's true.
Why are you still upset with your dad, dude? It was between your mom and your dad. Like, yes, it affected you, but listen, there comes a point where you forgive, you know, and you evolve, you know, but like, yeah.
And you don't always have to have the last say. And I feel like with Molly, she always has to have the last say. And if an argument doesn't end with her having the last input, then it's like automatically invalid.
It's not done.
Yeah.
I'm going to read
it. Everyone mustn't go after Molly like they haven't been a Molly before. Also.
No, yeah.
Everyone mustn't like, go after Molly like they have been. Come on. People must be honest, eh?
Are you a Molly?
I'm never a Molly in Tetwa, but I have been some. I have been one in some occasions, hey? I'm not gonna lie. I've been a Molly sometimes.
I think that's why Molly is so rough, because you see yourself in her.
Yeah, exactly. That's totally. Why, like, I also, like, I can't even, like, completely, like, be like, she needs to go or whatever at the same time. I don't feel like she needs to go. I just feel like, it's tough times and it's call for reflection. But in terms of, you know, just, like, cutting her out, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, I think it had like an interesting twist to the story. I think we're used to Issa being the mess and figuring herself out, and then Molly being like the fixer-upper. But I always think the fixer-upper is an easier role. And I think that Issa has shown so much courage. Personally, I enjoyed seeing her becoming 100%. More of herself and actually getting everything she wanted. Because I was actually out of touch with Insecure for a while. Then someone told me, Issa said she's having that she's having her block party. Then I was like, because of the previous seasons, I was like, she finally got her block party. Then I watched season type of thing. And I was just very disappointed at how Molly, as her best friend, took that. Because it also shows, like, it shows you the different roles people play, even in friendships and in life, and how... It's bigger than being a finished product. Like, you need to be there for someone. You mustn't just be so comfortable in someone's downfall or someone's or in your own rising type of thing.
100%.
Like, relationships need to be a bit more like agile. And I was very disappointed at how like Molly treated Issa's moment. Even me, I was happy for Issa.
Literally,
Issa.
A vibe, and she just found a way to make it about herself. And I just think that, like, Molly's still a good character to have, in general. And I think they'll figure it out. But I'm not shocked at the way it's gone, even with the boyfriend. I'm not shocked because the boyfriend was a genuine guy, and I like I like the comparison. Like, they were clearly trying to make a point around Molly because she had a good guy, messed that up. She had a good friendship, but the one time Issa had a rising, messed that up. So, it's clear what's happening here. But, I thought it was a very good season, personally. And I liked the switch up for Issa. And I like the comparisons, even with the different boyfriends in Issa's life. Because now that she's becoming her own person, what is she going to choose? Type of vibe. Yeah. Like, I mean, us as girls, our downfall sometimes can be relationships. But... the thing is that, like, you can fix it. And that's what I think Issa is. Like, Issa, what I like about her, she's not perfect. She's a human. She's a true depiction of that. Yeah, she's so... those mirror scenes kill me.
I love them.
Love those mirror scenes. Love them.
So I'm going to read...
I liked it when it turned against her. And she was just like, what? You really?
You're talking to like that. Yeah, no, it's fine.
So I have a tweet that I found interesting on Issa and Molly, and I'm going to read it out. So it comes from Fanapple. Nay, I'm not saying that right. I'm not even going to do that. Okay. The tweet goes, Molly quickly dismissed her 5-year-plus relationship with Issa, but was begging Andrew for another chance because of how much time they had invested into a 6-month-long relationship. And I feel as though,
that's
like,
normal.
That's just the case. Like, every time... I don't know what happens, and I haven't been in enough relationships to understand, but I've been on the other side where, like, your friend gets into a relationship and all of a sudden the dynamic completely changes. And the moment they're out of the relationship, it's like, oh, let's go back to where we started from. But meanwhile, you were being so crazy in that, like that time from then on. So it's like, even Issa sitting down with Molly at the end of like the season finale, it was like, okay, now your world comes crashing down. Now you want to make amends.
And yeah.
It's frustrating. I didn't like that.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought, like, first, like, when you read that tweet, my first thought was, well, I mean, I kind of get it because, like, you're not fucking your best friend. Like, you're having sex with the guy. So you kind of, sometimes it just, like those are different kind of emotions than you have with your friend. So, I mean, I can admit that I've been there, done that, where I've completely shifted a whole friendship because of a guy, and then all of a sudden, the guy's out of my life. And now it's like, okay, well, let's, like, pick it up where we last start. But that last scene, I thought the exact same thing. I was like, okay, so now it's time for you to, like, make amends because you don't have every... Now that you need someone in your life and you need someone to pick you up and help you, now you're ready to, like, come back and, like, talk to me and have a conversation. And I don't know. Molly is giving me a roller coaster of emotions. Yeah.
But why did she have a thing against Issa for going back to Lawrence?
I don't know. I think it's like Molly, it's exactly what we were saying. Like Molly can like dish it but can't take it. So I think it's easier for her to tell someone like, don't do that. Like that you shouldn't be doing that, but she can't see it in her own self and she can't like apply it to her own self. And I think just Issa was always a punching bag for her in a sense where it was just easier for her to just keep her down and keep her in check and keep her in place rather than keep herself in check and keep herself in place.
And so speaking of keeping people in check, another tweet that I saw kind of involved Lawrence and Issa. And this tweet goes, would Lawrence stay with Issa if she was pregnant with Nathan's child?
I think you would fake stay. You would fake stay. Because Lawrence does a lot of fake alliances with Lisa. Maybe fake stay. Like, I think he would.
That's a real thing. That's a real thing.
He would be like, Issa, I really respect like your choices, and then kiss Issa while she's pregnant, and then back at the crib, I can't do this. Like, it would be fake, but it would be like a true commitment type of thing. Like, it wouldn't be a genuine understanding, the same genuine understanding I feel Issa would give Lawrence if she would come to that conclusion. But Lawrence would fake stay because Lawrence and Issa's relationship, Lawrence is upset at Lisa. This is not going on with Lawrence. But to answer your question, I think he would fake stay and then dip. It wouldn't be a genuine thing where he would genuinely accept that.
I agree. I agree. He would fake stay hard. Hard.
And he might even come in and out after birth. But he's not staying. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, he has no real intention to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and like he wouldn't show up when we should need him the most and be like, listen, hey, I didn't choose this. I didn't choose this. And that's how he'll let her down. And then she always has to be reminded she chose this. He didn't choose it. So he's petty. He's petty. Yeah. Like that.
And I feel like it's just like a double standard. Like Lawrence can openly expect Issa to accept that he's having a child with Condola. But if the roles were reversed, even when it came down to the cheating situation, like that was one mistake. And it wasn't like Issa was the only one to blame in that situation. Mm-hmm. Like both of them created the environment that she didn't feel comfortable with the relationship anymore. Yeah, she shouldn't have cheated. But if you cared for this person so much the way that you say, how are you able to just walk away? And now that things get tough with you expect her to stay and thug it out with you and work it out and talk it out. Like she even agreed to go to San Francisco to literally uproot her life, like just to show that I'm serious about it. And I feel like she's still repenting for that, like that one time that she cheated.
Do you think if he didn't get pregnant,
No, go ahead.
No. You can say. You said Soka.
But what I'm trying to get at is, like, I understand what y'all are saying, but you're acting like cheating is just like a, I mean, I just slipped up and fell and cheated. Like, you are literally making such a huge commitment. That is such an intimate thing for you to just go and cheat on somebody. And you expect for them to sit there and just be like, okay, like, it was a mistake. I forgive you.
He's having a whole baby. That's intimate.
Okay, I agree. But he also wasn't like, let me get you pregnant. Like, it's not his fault.
It isn't his fault. But the thing about my thing about Lawrence is that even if she didn't get pregnant, one way or the other, he would have walked away from Issa. Like, and like, there would have been a point where he would have walked away. This was just like, okay, now she has to do the walking away kind of thing. That was time.
And so, like, just to, like, add on to what Ruri just said, is that, like, so now knowing all of that, and, like, knowing that Lawrence took Condola's phone call that evening where him and Issa had sex and had decided that he was going to go to Condola's house that night. He said, I'm coming. I'm going to pull up. He said, I'm pulling up. Do you not feel that Molly knew exactly what she was talking about? Molly knew exactly what she was talking about when it comes to don't go back to Lawrence, because that shit is messy. And it's messy. It's a messy situation. And, like, not to say that Lawrence is, like, a bad guy or whatever, but that situation and Issa going back there is messy. Like 100%. Yeah. And Molly knew that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like for me, I'm not sure what Molly's intentions were. I think, you know, Molly obviously has an ego problem or whatever. But, like, I think that with that specific situation, I think that she was really just trying to be like, girl, please. Please. You know what I mean? Mm. And I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
But at what point true. Do you forgive, like, in a relationship? Like, what, like, does this change for different people? Because, like, as you said, Coco, like, getting with someone, like, having sex with another person is a whole intimate thing. But I feel as though, and I hate that I say this, but Issa was justified in that moment. I feel as though all the things that happened to her, all of the, just how crazy Lawrence was being in that moment. He literally stayed home. She went to work, came back. He was still in the same place, making all of these grand ideas, but not following through. And it's hard to see that vision. I understand you're supposed to be supportive, but at what point do you say, like, get your shit together?
That's what you have to do. Open your mouth and communicate. Like, if he's going to continue doing that, then okay, be like, I'm not doing this anymore. But don't stay in a relationship and cheat on someone. No, end it. Why go through all of it?
But even though she cheated, it's not like she didn't care for him.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Luenda, please.
Yeah, no.
What's wrong with that?
Luenda, spare me. No, God. No.
Am I the only one?
No, I you don't
cheat.
That.
You
I'm
can't
totally
cheat caringly.
That.
How do you cheat with K? How do you cheat with K? Right? Please elaborate.
Where
I feel
was
confused.
You K when you were in between someone's lives?
I think your mind could get very clouded, and you can get to a very dark and weird space when you feel like you're in a relationship and you can't get out. Like, I feel like she probably didn't think that she could just leave because she had been with him for so long, and this is what their routine was, where he would just, like, have all these setups for all these things but then not follow through, and then she would just have to kind of, like, carry the weight and then continue on with their lives. So I think, like, you can, like, I'm not saying you should, but I think people can cheat on someone and still be in love with
care spouse. For them.
Okay, I get that, but they don't know how to cut it. They don't know how to communicate. It's the same thing. It's the same thing without the cheating that's happened to Lawrence and Issa, where they can't accept and communicate about things. They did not, the failure of their relationship is communication. Whereas Nathan, the contrast, he communicates all the time about where he's at, what is what's going on with him, and he apologizes.
He went to missing for like a week.
He had an issue.
No one knew that at the time. Guys, come on.
A man disappeared.
He literally disappeared.
He apologized. He took accountability, guys. He apologized.
I agree with Drew based on the fact that, like, guys, I agree with Drew based on the fact that, like, okay, Lawrence and Nathan, let's not put them in the same basket type of thing. No. Nathan is upfront and more honest and is able to communicate. Yes, homeboy, he disappeared for a month, right? But you need to understand that was actually in the beginning of the relationship. I'm not saying it was okay. But obviously, when it comes to a level of depth like that, when it comes to a sickness that you have or something on that level, imagine, like, for instance, I don't know what's sacred to you guys, but, like, imagine whatever's sacred to you, if it's your health, if it's your family, whatever, you're not going to just open up off the cuff about that to someone who just newly came into your life, because yeah. You're also trying to consider that person. And the problem is you don't know that person. You don't know how much they're willing to take. You don't know what they're going to accept, what they're not going to accept. You're still trying to figure that out. And now you're realizing you have bipolar. This adds a whole, like, is a whole span in the whole works. But he was able to come and stay and have that conversation with her thereafter. And ever since then, he even said he had a moment of clarity and he still wanted her, right?
Yes.
Now, I say Issa must give him a chance, because the thing is that she needs to hold him to his word. And they are still a fresh couple, a fresh start. And I think that he's been honest and upfront up until then. There's no ways Nathan was just going to be like, Issa, I have bipolar. Not everyone works like that. Yeah. Like, do you know what I'm saying? So my thing is that he only did that part. Yes, guys, we shouldn't be ghosting now. But he had bipolar. He found out he had bipolar.
Yeah, he had a legitimate reason.
I genuinely think that, like, Nathan, if I was Issa, I would choose Nathan. Lawrence is just messy. Yes. And I also feel Lawrence is always going to test Issa's loyalty. Hence why he has the audacity to step outside and answer that other girl's call. He has the audacity to even expect her to stay after knowing that this hand is pregnant. Anyone that loves you and knows what you guys have been through will not expect certain things from you. And, like, he'll also act right, but I feel like there's not a willingness, like a genuine willingness, to also forgive Issa firstly and move past what happened in that first initial cheating. I just feel like Lawrence is not being honest. I agree with you in terms of the communication part. It's always going to be their downfall. Always. Sure. And people can be very spiteful in that regard.
So since we're speaking of Lawrence, Nathan, I'm going to read another tweet. And by Saya, the tweet goes, "So Nathan gave Issa the idea for the block party. Had sex with her on a Ferris wheel, networked her with Andrew, opened up about his mental disorder, got her a space for the next event. What did Lawrence do? Knocked up Condola," and it was like, "Why are you not with the light skin?" And I low-key, like, that's it. Like, isn't that what you want? Someone that's able to be there for you emotionally, but also support your dreams, but not in, like, just a verbal way. Like, okay, let's actually do this. Like, let's get involved. What do you need of me? And there were no strings attached. It wasn't like, now that I've done this, you have to do this for me, or like something that he was holding over Issa's head. And I feel like the place that Issa's in her life, she needs that sort of support, not a man that's going to constantly need her to reassure her, like reassure them of their relationship. Like, Nathan's 100.
I think it's not even about, like, reassuring them of their, reassuring what, if about the relationship. I think she's the past. It's like that she has a full-on past with this guy, and she feels guilty for letting it go for something unknown, and something like what you guys were saying let her down in the beginning from the jump, whereas Lawrence only let her down at the end. So, like, I think with love, it's sometimes to step into the unknown is more scarier than stepping into what you know. You know what I mean? So I think for her, it's about her. She has to acknowledge where she's at. She needs to choose like growth. This, she has to choose to grow. And if she doesn't want to choose to grow, she'll stay with Lawrence. Simple as that. Or she can just be single.
But do you think it's typical of like most relationships, like going back to an ex, agreeing to go back to your comfort zone?
Exactly. So many people go back to their exes after breaking up for the first time. Like majority of people always go back. Majority. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking off other facts, but like people go back, and it's so what's it called? It's so detrimental to growth, you know?
Yeah.
Going back, it always stagnates you all the time.
And so, I feel like you're constantly fighting the perception of someone has of you. Like Nathan is a slate. Like you get the new and evolved Issa. Meanwhile, Lawrence remembers Issa from season one. And it's like trying to grapple with this person you knew versus the person that they're becoming.
Ha. Hectic. That's true. No, I just realized that's true. They learned to hang on to season one. When are we in what season?
Okay, so crystal ball looking in the future. What do you think Issa's going to do?
I think she's
going to
be with Lawrence.
She's going to be with Lawrence.
It's a disaster. But I think Nathan will be in the background, though.
Nathan will cut it.
Yeah, I think probably by the end of the season, Issa will see that she does deserve a person like Nathan. But I think all of next season, we're going to see her trying to struggle and work it out with Lawrence. And it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Coco, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think she's going to stick with Lawrence. I think that Lawrence is not going to move anymore because he's not just going to be like, I'm not going to be in the baby's life. He's for sure going to be there to some extent.
Yeah.
She's going to be with Lawrence.
And you, Belinda?
Yeah. I mean, like, I just feel like there's so many factors that, like, are present in Issa's life that could push her to make a growth decision. And I think that like Molly is one of those people, and Lawrence and Nathan and whoever. And I think that obviously, because we didn't see like the conversation that she's gonna have with Molly, I think it could go either way. I think that I just hope that Issa like fucking like makes a decision for herself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And I think that the people in her life are going to help her do that. Like whether or not we like how, like their approach or their agenda or whatever, but they lit a fire up her ass, which is what I like to see.
Yeah. And you, Peaks?
Yeah, I think that she'll stay with him, with Lawrence, and she'll thug it out. And I think that I have a feeling that it'll be a contrast with how hard her relationship becomes versus like how she begins to really step into her own, like being in terms of her work and the, you know, the stuff that she does, you know, as a curator of experiences, she put it. So I think that that might be the case and something that's interesting to see.
True. And so, like, with Nathan, we found out that he had bipolar. And Sloane, damn, I've forgotten her name. Amanda Steele, what's her character's name?
Tiffany.
And so we've seen, like, Tiffany struggling with her pregnancy and her becoming a mother and whatnot. And so with Nathan, there was this disconnect, like, oh, he just met Issa, like, he's allowed to go ghost and disappear. What did you guys think of Tiffany going ghost and disappearing for 2 days?
Yo, that's a good comparison. Well done. Shame, I felt sorry for her. I don't feel sorry for her.
Of course.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, I didn't expect to see it.
How do you do, yeah. Like, in what situations is it okay to go ghost? And what situations is it not okay? Because I've been flamed in my life for, like, going ghost, but just because I needed the time for myself.
Yeah, Louisa, Louisa. Just stop right there. Yeah. Stop right there. Please, get Taylor to hear this.
I'm opening up. But I'm just saying, like, how in those situations is it because there's like a legitimate mental illness element behind it? Because I feel as though even with Tiffany, like, I understand postpartum is a thing, and I thought it was really cool how they didn't mention it, but you knew exactly what she was going through. And it's like, as an full-on adult, as a mother, like, what would it have taken for her to be like, oh, I need some time for myself, I'm going to be away for a few days, like, don't contact me, I'm okay. Like, why? Like, to me, I feel like at the bare minimum, she could have done that.
I don't think she could have, because I feel like, again, it's just like that, the unfairness of being a female in comparison to a male in that position. Like, I feel like she probably, there's a lot of shame and embarrassment to say something out loud. It's like, especially, it's one thing to like think it in your head, but then to like have to actually say it out loud to your partner, like, listen, like, I'm really struggling with this mom thing. I'm really struggling with this.
What is that?
That.
It was nobody? Okay, cool.
I'm really struggling with this wife thing. I think it's like a lot to say it out loud. And an example I can think of is, I remember when my brother had a baby, he basically just kind of like leaves the baby with my parents, and then he just kind of goes off to do whatever he wants. And I remember specifically telling my mom, like, I could never do that. Like, that just would never be the case for me. I'm supposed to be here because I'm the mother. I'm the woman. I'm the female. I'm the one who birthed the baby. Like, if I was to ever walk out, you guys would think I would dead wrong. Like, I shouldn't have any sort of emotion behind it. So I thought it was very clever how they didn't mention it at all, because I feel like that's exactly how it would go. I wouldn't, like, no one would ever, she would never tell me that she's actually going through these emotions. And then to have it on this last episode and to see it, I was like, wow. Like, I was very emotional during it. I was like, this poor girl, like, she's really been struggling.
And I don't know if you guys watch the wind down after the episode ends, but basically, like, they have like Issa and Prentice and one of the other cast members, and Amanda sort of made the point that it also speaks to like the general like disconnect amongst like the friendship group throughout the season, because you could see from the very beginning that Tiffany was dealing with postpartum. Tiffany was not, she was not happy. She was not happy. She would always like make like sort of hints at like her relationship, or hints at like not wanting to be, you know, at home, or not wanting to be with the baby or whatever. Yeah. The whole season. So I just felt like everything that happened, like, in the later episodes just, like, really also highlighted the extreme disconnect as, like, friends. Like, they did not clock it. And, like, that's, like, scary. You know what I mean? So, yeah. It was really emotional, because I also, like, if I was her, I was like, how would you even begin to bring it up when Molly's going through this and Issa's going through this? And now people want you to be excited to have the baby, and then the block party, and then Nathan, and then, you know, like, so it was a lot of disconnect that, like, Tiffany's story highlighted.
But I feel like also, I think this often happens, is that even in friendships, like, you get so involved in your life, in your family, with work, that sometimes these things slip by. And it's not just a lack of not caring. It's just genuinely needing somebody to say, listen, I'm struggling. Oh, I need a moment. Like, come with me to do this. Like, I need just a break from whatever. And I feel like there's a lot of, like, there's so many times that I've realized that people will keep quiet, and the only time they speak is when they're at breaking point, when it's like, okay, something bad just happened and now you're breaking down and explaining everything. And it's like, especially with me, like, I don't pick up on these cues often. Like, sometimes you literally have to tell me exactly what you're talking about, and then you just feel so guilty for not even being able to pick it up. Okay.
No, you're right, Ed.
Yeah, and also maybe, like, yeah, but maybe that's, like, the whole lesson of this, like, season. You know what I mean?
It's to say something.
Well, just to, like, you know, be more, like, conscious of that disconnect, that it can happen if you're not careful.
True.
Mm-hmm, true.
One of the characters we have not talked about is good old Condola. I'm going to read you a tweet as, like, a prompt. And yeah, people are being so disrespectful with this girl's name. So this so tweet,
Condoleezza,
the tweet goes: Condoleezza didn't want to have kids with her own husband, but now feels comfortable having a kid with Lawrence, a man that she hasn't been with for a long time and doesn't want her. I'm still struggling with this logic.
I found that so rude. Like, that's crazy how people can say something like that.
But you don't feel as though it's justified?
No, I don't. I don't. Okay. Because why does the man in her life define where she is in her life? Like, why does the relationship that she happens to be in define where she is as a woman, as a person? Do you know what I mean? Like, no one knows, like, why she got married in the first place. Like, why are the two, you know, hand in hand? I don't know. Like, I found that quite stinky. Like,
but
what if her husband was terrible?
Yeah.
What if she was, like, really depressed in that marriage? What if she was, like, oh, yeah.
But if you've been...
And she said it herself that, I don't know, was it something to do with her not being ready, but this child she really wants or whatever? Like, I mean, as 100%. Much as, like, we would love, like, you know, the whole romance and for it to all work out, I was also like,
100%.
I don't hate her either. I really don't hate her either. I don't think you can just be like, oh, well, now you must support. Well, guy, what were you guys doing? Busy having, like, lit sex then? Because you know things can happen, or you, like, I don't know. Or maybe he said that they used a condom. Okay, he said that they used a condom. But regardless, my thing is just that, I don't think it's so black and white to decide for a woman when her time is and when her time isn't for her to have.
Right. Maybe a child. She's ready to have the baby.
But a baby isn't just one person deciding. This is a joint decision. You went half on a baby. That's half you, half this other person. And the fact that you can't, I don't believe in that situation. If you get pregnant and the guy doesn't want to have the child, like, I think that's valid for you to not have the child, because it's like, you're going half. That changes everything in that person's life. Seriously.
Luendo.
But you saying
woman can't raise her own child.
Essentially what you're saying right now, Luendo, is that in a couple of years' time, when you're at the age of, like, 30 or 31, and let's say,
and you want to have a baby,
you are in this girl situation, maybe you've had an abortion before, maybe who knows what you've dealt with in your previous, you know, in your previous times of having a child or not having a child, we don't know. But now you want to have a baby and you fall pregnant and you want to keep the baby. And the man says, and you're not with the man. Are you saying that he has the right to say you must kill that baby and that must be it?
Okay, you're using trigger words like kill and
what? You're using trigger words. No, she's thinking of that.
But, like, just think of Lawrence's position. Like, Well, as a female, you have full control of whether this child gets born or not. And you can't even say, you can be as involved as or as not involved as you want. Because at the end of the day, that's literally life that you brought into the world. And I don't feel as though you should be a mother or you should be a father being bullied into a situation. I feel as though you need... guys, am I like too out of pocket for this? Because I feel as though like
No.
You're speaking another side of it, which is fair. You're speaking your side, which is fair.
To like have this child, like you, most of us have grown up in like a two-parent household. You know what that's like, and now it's like you're bringing your child in to already a messy situation. A father that may not even want the child there. Like I don't feel as though. That's how you bring a child into this world. I really don't.
But who decides how you bring a child into the world? How are you saying that's how you decide and, or how you don't decide?
Under exactly. Terms?
So if you're collaborating on this child, it has to be a collaboration that both of you want. I believe a child should come into this world with both of the people that wanted to make this child, like wanting the child to exist. Like that sucks, knowing that, oh, your mom gave birth to you and your dad didn't want you there. He said, fuck, he wanted to go to, what's it called, San Francisco. Like, you wouldn't be a little bit hurt if you came into this world in those conditions?
People can't play these kids with other conditions where their like parents are together and they still get fucked up as kids. Even with 100%. Your parents, like, do you know what I mean? Like, so how can you, I don't think you can just put it down to that into like a collaboration. I feel like if you're already having sex, you must know it's touch and go. That's what I'm going to say. If you're having sex, it's touch and go. Because that brings a whole other level into people falling pregnant, into possibly bringing like someone, someone who looks like you now coming into the world. I think it's bigger than just saying, oh, we, you know, a collaboration on a child. I think,
I believe in owning a situation personally. So my thing is that just because it's a collaboration, like you've put, right, there's no guarantee that this guy's still going to stay. Like, as well, even after that agreement, there's no guarantee. So my thing is that I personally don't believe in like abortion, but I believe that it is a woman's right because a woman does go through the whole process. And most of the time, unfortunately, the way society is built, it does become a woman's responsibility more than a man's responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. But either way, I believe in owning a situation. So Lawrence must own the situation and she must own the situation. And to like go back to like even what Belinda said, I think, and Pika as well, I do believe that it is a bit rude in how the person had put it, because I feel like people like to oversimplify women's emotions. Like women are solely responsible for how they deal with certain things, but no one is saying anything about Lawrence or making a reference to the husband and all that Gondola, isn't that her name? Gondola has been going through. For her to reach that extreme, it also goes back to even Tiffany's extremes. So like we're also human. And the thing is that like, unfortunately, it seems like an unfavorable situation on all ends. She's married, she's pregnant with another man's child. Lawrence wants to go to San Fran. But at some point, you need to own this situation. There's no justification for anyone telling you what to do with life in general. Mm-hmm. Like someone killing someone, if we're gonna go in extremes, you can't justify life. That is not up to us. But I believe in owning a situation, whatever that is.
But I feel like too often when we talk about pregnancies, like I feel like this is one of the unique situations where it's like the female gets priority and gets to decide and gets to dictate the way things go. And often there's not consideration for like men in that situation, because guys, even just to think about
how are you dictating?
She did. She did. She even gave him. He can go. She said he doesn't have to. Honored him and respected him to say, listen, I'm pregnant with your child. You don't have to be part of it, but I'm having this child. Right. She took accountability
out. It's not a realistic expectation. How are you gonna go to someone and say, I'm having your baby? You can be as involved.
Okay, then do what
it says. Some guys will be like deuces as well.
And that's his choice. Whether it's realistic or not, what's realistic is that a baby is coming.
Exactly.
So you have the choice.
I'll be interested to see how Lawrence deals with this. I'll be interested to see if he actually takes accountability for this, because he never takes accountability.
I think 100%.
But I don't think all men do, though.
No, I think he will. Yeah.
Character will, but not all men do, though.
Like everything else in life, Lou, you have a choice. So the thing is that there's going to be a bad and a good side to it, regardless whether he chooses to be there, whether he chooses to not be there. It was still an unfavorable situation. And the nice part is that she gave him a choice and she made her choice, which she has the right to.
Right.
So there was a regard for him. But at the same time, she also needed to take herself into account. She wanted the child.
Yeah.
You can't, because I feel like saying the latter and saying that you're not regarding him, there's almost an expectation for her not to have the child. And that 100%. Is unfair. Because 100%. Now that's placing an expectation where she hasn't placed an expectation on him.
But like, okay, I'm just going to say one more point on this. So like, I feel as though it would be different if we're talking about Lawrence and Issa. But we're talking about Condola. This was like a random fling. How long have they even known each other? Like maybe even less than a month. And now all of a sudden you're expected to accept that you're having a child with this lady that you haven't even got history with. You haven't vetted her properly. You haven't gone through the whole experience. I don't even
think... That was the person you were having sex with, though.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm not saying, like you had sex with the thing that, oh, we're going to have a child. But like, I feel like people need to realize when you're dipping and diving, that is one of the possibilities. So like, I don't know why there must be a whole thing of, oh, I don't understand that.
There's no manual to life. Life doesn't happen.
People need to recognize the power of sex. You need to recognize it and you must take
Exactly. Exactly.
That is it.
Exactly. 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 Like Lou, I'm sorry. Life doesn't go according to life is not planned. You cannot plan things. Things just happen. And sometimes you have to deal with the punches. Like people like, so that's, I don't know. It's not perfect. It's not perfect. You know, and like, who's to say that you need to know somebody for a year to have a child with them? Like, or you need to be in a proper relationship to have a child with them. You don't. Like PK said, if you're dipping and diving, things are going to happen.
And it just so happened that she was in this stage of her life where she wanted to keep the baby. And that's her choice. That's 150% her choice.
But you don't think that should have been a topic that they should have talked about beforehand? Like, if anything were to happen, I'm going to keep this child. You know what I mean? This is just the way I see it. I understand everybody's viewpoint. Like, I understand where y'all are coming from. But then he looks like a deadbeat if he doesn't want anything to do with this child. And I can understand both sides is what I'm saying. I'm going to play both. But
yeah.
But I feel like they didn't even have time to have a conversation of, oh, if we get pregnant, I want to keep the baby, because it was less than a month.
But that's what's happened with everything in this episode. Nobody had time to talk about anything. Nobody had time. Nathan didn't have the time that he wanted to talk about what was happening in his like with his disorder. Yes, before he ghosted. Like what's it called? Molly. Like there's so many. Like time is not. It's not planned. You cannot plan for the perfect time with regards to anything. And what you are asking for is for time to meet you halfway. And time is not going to meet you halfway. It's just not. You just need to be able to accept what's happening right now and deal with it. And that's why in the end of the season, Molly took accountability where she's at, even though it was imperfect, that she had lost everything. Both of them were in a specific moment in their lives where they just needed one another. And that's and they rose to that time in that period. Like, that's just what it is.
But I also just like going back to Molly, I also think that Molly was trying to hang on to Andrew for the wrong reasons as well. 100%. But that's
Ooh, I loved that scene where she was at her psychologist, and then the psychologist was like, "Are you gonna do you want to be right or do you want to have a relationship?" Then I'm like, this is your aha moment, Molly. Take your aha moment.
Right.
She didn't get it.
She didn't get it.
Like, also,
shame, Lou.
Wait.
I don't understand why you're holding on to this pregnancy thing, eh? I'm just a big shock,
like,
eh?
If the world was reversed, if I had to think of, like, a guy that I knew for less than a month and he told me he was pregnant with my child, like, literally, like, just thinking of all the people that come into your life, like, I would be traumatized now, because the way you think of a fling is not the same way you think of a long-term.
Yeah, listen, Dave,
I'm dead. You say all the people all that the come people. Into your life. Who are all the
people? Eh? No wonder you're going around this.
Who are these people jumping and diving?
The power of sex, Luendo, it's powerful. Play. Yeah.
honestly.
That's the thing. Maybe we become maybe we haven't become responsible with who we share ourselves with. And that's what it's leaning towards. We just think that we can dip and dive anyway. And you, Luendo, you think you can just dip and dive without knowing that there are responsibilities. You're an add-on. It's not like kissing. You can't just kiss everyone.
Right.
Okay, I'm gonna shift topic.
Shame, I respect the fact you're honest, Luendo. You know, it takes guts to be honest.
You told her.
But I do think it's important to recognize that, because I don't think it's easy. I know I'm saying it passionately and whatever, but that's just because I think we can't really count Condola's situation out for just being like, oh, she's horrible. So I do recognize, I won't act like it's a favorable situation and it's great or who cares about what the man has to say. That's not what I was trying to say, but I do also stand with the fact that, like I said again, if you're dipping and diving, it's issue number one. Number two comes with, well, if she wants to have a kid, she falls pregnant, who knows what her history is, you know what I mean? Yeah. If she's a woman, she's ready. Like, you can't discount that and say that doesn't make her argument less valid or lesser than Lawrence's, just because now he wants to be in a relationship and they aren't together anymore.
But that's just all. To like clarify, like, I don't think Condola is in the wrong, but I just feel as though the way the conversation happened was, oh, I found out I'm pregnant, oh, I'm keeping the child. It didn't feel like it was like a conversation where you got to a conclusion. She was literally just telling him what was happening and gave him an ultimatum, like, you can be as involved or as not involved as you want, like, end of
discussion. Would you have been happier if she was like, I found out I'm pregnant, what are we going to do?
Yeah, I'm pregnant, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this? Like, this is where I'm at in my life. This is what's happened. This is what's led me to this point. Because off the surface, it sounds nuts. You had a whole marriage that didn't work out. You didn't choose to have kids in that situation. And now you're dating a guy that you probably dated for a couple of weeks. And now all of a sudden, you're ready for that leap. And I feel like there wasn't enough explanation of how she got there. Like, what circumstances.
Well, that might be an artistic choice. We don't know. Like, we don't know why we didn't get that conversation. I don't know why, but yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I also hear you, Shame. I also hear you with that. I hear you.
Okay. So my last, I guess the last point that I wanted to talk about is Molly on her vacation in Mexico, right? And I feel as though, like, it's easy to get into this mistake. Like, you're so used to being in an environment, like, she's coming from America where a lot of things are, like, racially motivated. So it kind of clouds the way that you see certain situations. So her little incident with the brother-in-law, well, not the brother-in-law, just, like, Andrew's brother at the towel kiosk. Did you feel like she was justified in the way that she reacted to that situation?
Yeah, they showed you. The couple walked up, she didn't even ask him for the key card, she gave them the towels. But when she walked up, she asked her. I don't know if maybe this lady already knew these people, like, she's seen them multiple days, but she didn't ask them anything.
But I feel like that's sometimes what's missing in, like, an interracial relationship, that you see things differently, and it's really hard for someone that's coming from a different point of view, like Andrew's brother, to identify, okay, maybe the world is different when your skin tone is a different color.
But then why didn't he say that?
But he's not even
all he could have done was acknowledge that, okay, yeah, I can see how it might be different. And I think that's what irritated Molly and us and caused her to pop off, because I think that Andrew understood that, okay, these are two different people and they're not gonna get along right now. But the brother was very adamant in dismissing Molly's perspective.
Yeah, I think he said something like, something to do with playing devil's advocate or something. Yeah. I don't remember, but I just felt like that's where that was going.
Some stinky shit. Yeah.
Why would this be the first, like, your first, like, point of leading this discussion versus, like, going the other way? Because now it just sounds like you're trying to argue, like, bullshit.
Exactly.
So,
and also be, like, very condescending. So,
yeah.
So I felt like Andrew handled that well. But the brother, fuck off, absolutely.
And so, go ahead.
No, personally, I feel that Molly was justified, firstly, to feel the way that she felt about it. I don't think that she was actually, I don't think she was overreacting. My only thing about that whole scene is that I hate the way it's always depicted as being irrational. So, like, I always feel like there's a smarter way to deal with situations like that. And I wish that was more depicted, because that is a real situation. But they made Molly look irrational towards that towel lady or towel guy. So my thing is that it was easy for the brother to play against that and also once again discuss whether or not that was rational or not. Whereas if I would have liked if Issa wrote that scene a bit differently. It happened the same way, but Molly's reaction was a bit more tactful. Because I feel like racism is such a subtle thing, and I feel like it needs to be dealt with the same level of subtlety, but as impactful. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I just feel like it's so easy to go past a situation like that, because it's always an angry black woman. But the thing is that I wish they would make more of a reference of how it was justified type of thing. And I also feel like Andrew's brother was very condescending. I feel like he wasn't actually trying to understand where Molly was coming from at all. Like, at all. And I completely agree. Andrew handled it like a gentleman.
Andrew always does.
He gets it.
But even when the brother-in-law, like, extended the basketball seats, do you think she was justified in saying, like, I'm not going?
No, I think she dragged it on for long.
And then it became
something that came into, like, hers and Andrew's relationship, which wasn't necessary now. Because now you're fighting with your man for what? You know what
I mean? Now you're putting him in the middle.
Putting him in an awkward place.
And also long term, I just don't think it would be the best, like, idea. Because now it became like a thing weighing over them. Like, and of course it became detrimental. Because, I mean, how many times are you going to, you know, how, you need to come to the table as well. Otherwise, nothing can kind of be done. And now their relationship was being, you know, put on the line. When initially, I mean, she was fighting with the brother. She wasn't fighting with Andrew. 100%. So now doing that and, you know, extending that, it's only going to now, you know, mess their relationship up. Which, I mean, it had an effect
which
on
it that, did. So, yeah.
And who knows? Again, like that olive branch for the basketball game, that could have been an opportunity for the brother to have said something as well. Maybe Andrew, the gentleman that he was, probably talked to his brother and was like, listen, this is why she reacted this way, and this is why you shouldn't be saying these ignorant things specifically. You know, it could have been a scene where we could have seen that, like, come together. But she, again, just Molly in her own time, in her whenever she wants space.
That's true.
It could have been such a learning, like, moment for her and like for her in her relationship with Andrew, because clearly she wanted this relationship or like whatever she wanted from Andrew. But like that like was such a perfect example of how Molly, like, if you just, you know, give and take a little bit, then you can, you know, build on this relationship that you say that you really want.
Like, yeah,
like that was a moment for her to build on this relationship, and she squandered it.
And, like, I also, like, I was impressed with Andrew's development and how patient and understanding he was as a boyfriend. But I also was impressed with Tiffany's man. Like, he rolled with the punches. Like, even when it was, like, when the block party happened, like, the first time I knew something was up, when she was like, you go look after the kid.
Yeah. I was like, what? The block party.
And he just, like, was understanding, even when he found her, like, I don't think I would be, like, I would have to be, like, what are you thinking? But he was just so understanding. And do you think he realized that it was postpartum? That's why he went into that situation in a more, like, understanding way? Or do you think that's just how his personality is?
No, I think
even if he didn't realize at the moment what it was, I think he still treated it with such kindness, because I think he treated it in a manner of wanting to understand, even if he didn't understand now. So it was almost like, give her that relief for now. Hopefully we can talk about it later type of thing. But he dealt with it in such a kind manner. And I think that's his nature in general.
Right. I think it's got to do with his nature, but, like, I can't remember exactly what he said when they were, like, on the bus, and he was kind of reflecting on their relationship and her, like, now being a mother and whatever. And I think he mentioned it. So even if he didn't necessarily know what was going on, I think he was just trying to get his wife back, and, you know, like, they'll go through it together from there, which was, like, something really nice to see, I thought.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knew, like, the buzzword postpartum, but, like, like you said, PK, like, on the bus when he reflected, he was like, I knew there was something going on, and I knew she needed some space, and I just wanted to give her some time. So, like, he was obviously, like, in his head knowing that his wife was going through something, and let me do what I need to do as a husband to help relieve whatever I can.
True. So I think that pretty much wraps up. Do you guys have any final thoughts on the season?
Want to
talk about?
I hope Nathan and Issa become a thing, and I hope it actually works out. I think that's going to be a healthy relationship.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I want to mention something. So I spoke to Coco about this, and I don't know if I'm the only one that feels this way, but the missing LaToya storyline. Did you guys think that was random, or were you expecting the, like, final kick? Like, why was this a running story through every single episode?
So that's apparently that's Issa's podcast, so she sort of, like, promoted this new podcast through the show. So looking for LaToya is, like, Issa's, like, new project.
That seems so random for it to not mean anything. Like, everyone was referencing it. Hey, cool. So, any more final thoughts? Wait. Okay.
Do you guys remember the last episode, the finals episode, and when she was on the balcony smoking? Doesn't she live on the first floor? Where did the balcony come from?
One of the things I also thought about. Like, where did that balcony?
I didn't think about that. I was like, she needed to breathe. She just needed to breathe. She just took. We were just like, I can't. That's what I thought.
I think she needed to look at Nathan's. That looked at Nathan's apartment. Nathan's on the second floor.
I wanted to add that. There's a lot of flack that Condola is going through, but, like, also I feel bad for her because her relationship with Lawrence was kind of cut short because of Lawrence. Like, I remember the scene when, like, she was kind of, like, not hanging around Issa anymore, and then Issa and Condola, like, came together, and then that's when Issa found out that they had broken up, but we don't really know why they broke up, but I thought it was insinuated it was more so, like, a Lawrence thing and not a both of them thing. So I feel like it's also, like, not really shown that, you know, even though she wasn't ready to have a baby with her ex-husband, and not saying that she was ready to have a baby with Lawrence, but, you know, she was in a better space, and I think she was hoping or could have seen a future with Lawrence, but then it kind of just got cut short. So I like, I feel bad for that aspect because I feel like that wasn't highlighted as much either.
But then again, remember when they had that whole like wine party at Condola's house, and and Lawrence's issue was that Condola didn't want to have like a long-term relationship. Or like she didn't feel like the relationship was serious. Remember that when they had that conversation, after the guests left.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Lawrence was like, "Oh, so like, are you serious about this? Like, what do you want to do?" Mm-hmm. And she was like, "No, it's just casual."
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And now a whole baby's on the way.
What up?
I didn't understand the point that Kerry Washington directing an episode. I didn't understand the point. Yeah, like, why was she directing? I don't understand. It didn't seem like she was able to flex other muscles.
Like, she's
okay, but I didn't see the difference between the other episodes. That's what I was saying. So I don't think it's wrong that she directed.
It's an episode within a whole, like, it has its own style and stuff. So does it need to be particularly different?
The storyline.
I wanted to see her difference, but I get it. I get the importance. And I do understand the significance, but I wanted to see Kerry Washington's like take on things. I wanted to see difference.
You wanted to see lower lips shivering. Is that what you said?
Fuck you, BK. No, man. What I wanted to see was just like a different, you know, like a different perspective of the storyline. You know, when it just where the view changes a bit, and then you're like, okay, guest starring Kerry Washington. I don't want it to be the same perspective of how the story's been going on. I just wanted to see the camera turn a bit in terms of how we see things. You know, like maybe you have one season where you see from the guys' angles. You know what I mean? Like the episode through their eyes, if that makes sense. And I just feel like the camera didn't shift enough when they invited the guest directors. Yes, it's about empowering, which I'm all in support of. Like, don't get me wrong. I love that. But I just feel like be more adventurous. You know what I mean? With regards to everything. But I won't lie. I know she hates this when people say it, but I just wish the episodes were longer. I know she hates it. It's another thing.
Right.
The one last thing, like just my final comment, is that I really hope in season 5 or 6, I don't know where we're at, but I hope Kelly has a bigger role than just comedic.
I was about to say.
More meat. She's such an interesting character, but I feel as though like she's just there for a joke. She's just there to lighten the mood. And even what she was going through, like noticing your friend going through this change with motherhood, like that's something they could have fleshed out a bit more, because she was the one looking after the baby at one point, and I was like, where's Stephanie? Why is she looking after this kid?
Yeah.
And like, you could have explored so much more to that side, but I feel like that was a missed opportunity. So more Kelly.
definitely. Yeah, I feel like she's been like, especially in this season, she's been jokey, but she's also played like the in-between. Like when I think about Issa and Molly's relationship and how that like almost crumbled, and Kelly was, you know, some, you know, playing in between when it was Tiffany. Thank you. she was you know, leaving the baby with Kelly, and Kelly was so present in those times. So I just feel like, give her more. Like, I want to know more about Kelly. I want to know who she is. I want to understand her more. So I don't just want to laugh at her or laugh with her. So
True.
Right.
Are we all good? Or... Okay, end of our Insecure review, guys. Okay, I'm going to verbally say this. I promise you, by the next podcast in 2 weeks' time, everything is going to be up. Everything is going to be up. That's my deadline. All of these episodes are going to be up. I've said it, so now you guys can hold me accountable.
Thank you, Lou.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for the good discussion. And I see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Got me feeling like I can't breathe. I can't even hang with the homie. No reason not to trust me. I'm your lady, not a slave. You my nigga, not my master. I'll escape. Thinking who can I run to? Got me looking for a new dude with a chill vibe, with a nice time, who can lay back, who don't pick fights, who ain't insecure. Yeah. Why you gotta be so insecure? Yeah. When I did all I could do, but you be wanting more.